This is the Texoma Report. I'm Melissa Beck, and now the news. Governor Kevin Stitt spent much of his State of the State address pushing for in-person schooling across Oklahoma amid the COVID-19 pandemic. State Impact's Robbie Korth reports he's leveraging the issue to push other policy goals for the upcoming session.
Stitt's policy wish list includes easing transfer rules for K-12 students and changing Oklahoma's funding formula so schools can't rely on past years for allocations if they've lost students. He said both of those policies would have helped get students back in the classroom earlier during the pandemic.
Being in a physical classroom is so important for most students to succeed.
Stitt again criticized Tulsa Public Schools for dragging its feet on in-person learning, though earlier in the day, the district announced it hoped to get students back in classrooms by the end of the month. Tulsa Superintendent Deborah Gist said during that press conference, political pressure had nothing to do with the decision. Instead, it's a continuation of listening to experts.
Throughout this experience, we have followed the science, the data, the public health professionals.
When exactly Tulsa students will ultimately come back to school is unclear. But since August, more than 90% of Oklahoma school districts have conducted in-person learning. For State Impact, I'm Robbie Korth.
It has been less than 2 weeks since President Biden started reversing some Trump-era policies that had rolled back protections for the LGBTQ+ community, including reversing the transgender ban in the military. Among the sighs of relief and celebrations have been some backlash from the GOP. There are some proposed bills with a pointed focus on transgender youth. In addition to the much-debated federal bill, H.R. 426, that proposes to cut funding for schools that allow transgender girls to participate in girls' sports, there is another proposed bill right here in Oklahoma, SB 676, which would make it illegal for any person under the age of 21 to receive gender reassignment surgery and anyone under the age of 18 to receive hormone therapy, even with parental consent. To give some perspective on what the ramifications of such a law could be is Ali Shin, Executive Director of Freedom Oklahoma.
It's one of the most extreme political attacks on transgender people in recent memory. This displays a fundamental lack of understanding of transgender children, of what it means to be transgender, and it also criminalizes best practice medical care for transgender youth. Medical care that's backed by the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Medical Association, and other leading medical authorities who put doctors, transgender youth, and their families at serious risk.
This senator claims that he has been consulting with experts. What do the experts say about the mental health of transgender children receiving these therapies?
Best practice medical care is overwhelmingly clear on what is best for transgender children, and that is to really affirm where this child is, right? That's what the American Academy of Pediatrics says, the American Medical Association. I'd be interested to know what experts the bill author has been consulting with, because certainly no experts that we know in the medical field.
I think the main issue here is that they are children. There needs to be a lot of consideration for their mental health and their physical safety when it comes to any sort of medical issue. The danger I see is ignorance being very pervasive on this subject and education being the key to a better understanding of the sorts of decisions that these parents are making with their child.
Yeah, I mean, that's right, right? Like, decisions about health treatment for transgender youth should be made in accordance with current medical best practices, which is, you know, personal between a family and their doctor. But medical best practices for transgender youth are well established, have been used to meet the health needs of transgender youth for many, many years. And transgender children, like any children, have the best chance to thrive when they're supported and get the health care they need.
What are some of the repercussions that we could see if this bill were to hit the Senate floor and be approved?
I'm really hopeful that the Oklahoma legislature is going to get their priorities straight here, right? We're in the middle of the pandemic. Our state leaders need to be focusing on what matters, which is containing the virus, increasing testing and bolstering the economy, and then helping families, right? Oklahomans are having a really hard time with extremely high unemployment rates, extremely high uninsured rates, extremely high rate food insecurity. There are so many Oklahoma families that don't know where their next meal is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
My belief is that the Oklahoma legislature will focus on the real needs of Oklahomans rather than using their platform to attack children, because that's ultimately what this bill is. And I believe that the vast majority of the Oklahoma legislature will see that this is not a time to be attacking children, that there is no time to be attacking children, but instead a time to be helping Oklahoma families when they're struggling. That said, the potential consequences of this are extreme. Transgender children already face a lot of hardship in, you know, finding acceptance, finding the ability to thrive among their peers. And we need to be supporting transgender children, especially in accordance to what the experts are overwhelmingly saying is best for them. And instead, they're being subjected to baseless political attack from politicians who are willing to use literal children, kids, as pawns in their political game.
Is Freedom Oklahoma taking any steps to oppose this legislation?
Yeah, we oppose this legislation and will oppose it at every step of the process and similar legislation wherever it occurs. This, again, is one of the most extreme attacks we've seen. Our communities won't stand for it. Legislators of conscience won't stand for it. We are cautiously optimistic that we can get this pushed back. Unfortunately, so much damage is already done when it's been introduced at all. I know that it can be difficult to imagine what it must be like to be transgender, especially for people who haven't met a transgender person. But I think what we can all agree on is that every single person who calls Oklahoma home, especially our children, deserve to be treated with respect and with dignity and with safety. And that's the Oklahoma that I know I want to live in, and I believe most Oklahomans want to live there as well.
For KCCU, I'm Melissa Beck.